Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Friday, August 9th. I'm Ray Graff. Today on this edition of Food Friday, we cool off with summer cocktails. We welcome John Fisher from the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park. John knows more about mixology than I will forget by last call. Also with us is famous tropical drink slinger Anton Kinloch. Anton owned and operated the Fuchsia Tiki Bar in New Paltz, New York, from 2019 to 23. His latest venture is the Lone Wolf in Kingston. You want to know how to mix up that perfect cocktail? Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. John and Anton and your drink questions coming up after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Here we go with our summer cocktail show for 2024. We welcome back John Fisher, who has just had his sneezing jag, and he's all set to go. John is a professor of hospitality and service management at the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, New York. Previously, he was general manager at the Morel Wine Bar and Cafe in New York. One year on this show, he made authentic Singapore slings, and for that, he will forever be enshrined in the Vox Pop Hall of Fame, which is over there in the back of the building near the restrooms. Also with us today is Anton Kinloch, who just walked in. A graduate of the Culinary Institute, Anton oversaw beverage operations at a local casino from 2014 to 2016. In 2019, he launched the Fuchsia Tiki Bar in New Paltz, which boasted one of New York State's largest collections of sugarcane spirits, of which I know very little, so I'm going to ask many questions today. His latest creation is Lone Wolf in Kingston, New York. He's been featured on the Food Network and CBS Mornings. He is officially slumming it here in Studio A, but he'll enjoy it all the same. We welcome your drink questions at 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. John Fisher.
Yes.
How you doing, buddy?
Better now that I've seen you.
Well, okay. We'll just leave that to hang for a minute.
Yes.
And everything's going good over at the Culinary Institute.
Yeah. We just had a graduation yesterday and one this morning. It was a big one. There's like 800 students graduating between the 2 days. And we have a graduation.
Wow.
We have 3 graduations a year because of the way our trimester works. But it was a big day on campus.
Now, in the food service industry, there are enough jobs out there to support an 800 person class every year.
Plenty, and sure. as Anton will agree with me, is that you know our students are graduating at a pretty high level of capability, and the industry needs managers.
Yeah.
You know, the industry needs young management. And you know a lot of that job growth that you've been hearing about, a lot of it is in hospitality. So our students are pretty much walking out with 3-4 job offers.
Well, that's great. Anton Kinloch, you just walked in. Parking can be a little difficult. You made it. Can you hear in your headphones?
Yeah, no, it's perfect.
You walked in as I was doing the intro. Very smooth, man. You just slid in.
Thank you.
Great to have you here for a first time on this program. I know so little about sugarcane spirits that I'll ask you some questions today. But tell us about your previous foray into this, the Tiki Bar in New Paltz, and then tell us about Lone Wolf, which I have not attended yet.
So Fuchsia was actually a concept that my wife and I came up with on our own. It was basically because there was no tiki or tropical bars in the Hudson Valley. And we saw it as an opportunity to kind of be the first ones to pioneer this idea. And it kind of became a rabbit hole initially. I was super into just the actual genre and the actual history. And then I started to really get into sugarcane spirits as a whole. And I started realizing that rum is way more complex of a spirit than I even knew. So I started researching the histories of the distilleries, the histories of the product itself, the production methods. And I pretty much became kind of the go-to guy for a lot of people locally.
Tell me about how the process differs from, say, a grain whiskey when you're making it.
So it's still fermented. It's still distilled with similar equipment. The only difference is that there is a significant level of terroir involved with the actual cane juice or the cane honey, which is partially evaporated cane juice, or molasses, which is pretty much the product that we all know and love. That's kind of like more than 90% of the stuff on the market. But a lot of it has to do with the actual fermentation. That's really where the magic happens, like how long it's fermented, what kind of bacteria is used, what kind of yeast is used, the conditions. So there's so many other factors at play that we don't really take into consideration.
But sugar is sugar, and the processes that turn that sugar into alcohol are what give it its individual character.
You know, usually you think about rum, you think, oh, that's so sweet. But the couple of times I've had higher-end stuff that maybe is more proof, and the sweetness goes away the higher the proof, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, and you'll notice that actually majority of good rums on the market are not inherently sweet. In fact, almost none of that sweetness or that sugar transfers over in the distillation process. It's actually added back in after the fact. So there are some brands on the market that do like to add spirit caramel and extra sugar to kind of round out the harsh edges. Pretty much, as I like to call it, they mask something that is not very pleasant or desirable, and it appeals to the average consumer.
I had one time, I had to make a mixed drink for a party or something, and it was clear. I think it was Brazilian, and it was god-awful. It was just terrible stuff.
It was probably some nasty cachaça.
Probably, yeah.
Okay, and we have a question about that, so why don't we start with that right now? By the way, our phone number here is 800-348-2551. The email is voxpop@wamc.org. Anton Kinloch is here from The Lone Wolf, and John Fisher is here from the Culinary Institute. It's our summer cocktail show. Matt writes in, any suggestions for cachaça cocktails aside from the usual muddling with lime wedges and sugar?
Oh, like alternative to the caipirinha, yeah.
I'm sorry?
That's the name of the cocktail you just described.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
A caipirinha.
Yeah, so it's almost like a daiquiri, just a little bit more kind of rustic. But I would say that if you're going to be using cachaça in any spirits, I would say definitely use it in a Mai Tai, use it in a daiquiri. So definitely use it as a base spirit for pretty much any rum cocktail that you want. It's going to be more vegetal, more grassy, and it's really going to be more punchy, which is awesome.
Yeah, the cachaça is made from fresh sugarcane juice instead of molasses. So it's got almost like a white dog moonshine kind of characteristic to it.
Yeah.
It's like halfway between, I don't know, like grappa and tequila, more so than
interesting.
It's got quite a bit of flavor, yeah.
Now, you made on this program, I mentioned it at the outset here, a Singapore Sling.
Yes.
Does that requires rum, yeah?
No, gin.
That's just gin?
Gin base, pineapple juice, good grenadine, Benedictine, Cointreau. I missed like two of the seven ingredients, but
that was one of the finest.
Pineapple juice is the cool thing about pineapple juice is if you either are vegan or allergic to egg whites, pineapple juice foams up when you shake it, so you can get a foam.
Yeah, especially fresh pineapple juice. It works really, really well.
We're here with John Fisher and Anton Kinloch. It's our summer cocktail show on Food Friday, 800-348-2551. A couple of mixologists in the house. If you have a question that has been bugging you about mixing that perfect drink, it's 800-348-2551 or email voxpop@wamc.org. Anton, tell us a little about Lone Wolf in Kingston.
So Lone Wolf was basically a concept that we put together relatively quickly. We had our tiki bar in New Paltz for nearly 5 years, and then a week after we signed our lease on Lone Wolf, we got booted out from Fuchsia in New Paltz. So we had to quickly pivot and quickly adjust, and we got the place open in 2 months. But it's
Which is insane.
Yeah,
opening a bar restaurant in 2 months.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, like between gutting everything and putting all the new equipment together, training the staff, finding the staff, creating the menu, effectively it was meant to be a more upscale cocktail bar in a residential neighborhood.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, based on the bio and the timeline you sent me, you opened Fuchsia right about as the pandemic was about to begin, and you kept it open until it ended.
Yeah.
Would you rather have done it the other way around?
I mean, I'm glad that we got as far as we did with it, and it's regrettable that we couldn't keep it alive, but our landlord made a decision to end our lease, and instead of having two locations and two concepts running simultaneously, I get to focus all my energy on this new one, which is really exciting.
Now, when I think of a tiki bar, I've never been in one, but I think, you know, you have leaves on the walls. It's kind of a Gilligan's Island vibe, yeah?
Yeah, it's very much all about a sense of escapism. You want to kind of feel transported away. It's completely different from any bar setting that you're going to be in anywhere.
It's cocktails today. John Fisher is here from the Culinary Institute. We're going to try a beer from the CIA in a moment. We'll talk more with these guys. Anton Kinlock is here. If you have a question, give us a call. Let's do some tiki music here. This is very, very authentic stuff. It's Clapton. We'll be back. Yes, the Polynesian sounds of Derek and the Dominoes here on Food Friday. 800-348-2551. That's the number to call. John Fisher is a professor of hospitality and service management at the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park. Anton Kinlock is now with Lone Wolf. That's his latest venture in Kingston, New York. Kind of a tiki vibe there. And this is our summer cocktail show. If you want to call in, if you have a question, any mixology question at all, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Before we get into the rum drinks, how about a toast here, gentlemen? This is...
Cheers, Slonja.
This is a beer. This
yes,
would be beer. And what is this?
It's a Schwarzbier, which is a black lager. Mm. And this is the class project beer for the semester, where what we do every semester, we break the students into five groups. We give them five different styles.
Do they get to choose?
No. This is autocracy when it comes to
so the German styles. The German kids cannot do the Schwarzbiers. They have to do something
actually,
else.
Actually, one of the students, her mom was German.
Okay,
and so maybe that's why it's so good. But anyway,
it is good.
So every semester they get the five styles. They do presentations, and they vote what style both they want to make, but also what makes sense business wise. And then that beer gets made, and it's served at graduation. So they can turn to mom and dad and say, hey,
I did
that last tuition check.
Yeah, that's an expensive beer, let me tell you. No, this is a great Schwarz beer. And one thing I like about this style is it's A, not very strong. Mm-hmm. And B, it's got plenty of taste. And it's an old school beer. It's not an IPA by any stretch.
Oh, no.
And to me, I love that.
Dark flavor, light body. You know, it's a little bit of, you know, antithesis there. And you expect a dark beer to be, you know, big and rich and
yeah.
everything. And it's, you know, it's like the surprise people get the first time they try Guinness. And it's like
very
light.
Light, yeah. Number here is 800-348-2551. Anton Kinlock, what is the thing with the skulls? What is that?
Oh, that's actually one of the tiki mugs we decided to bring in today.
Wow. So how do you drink out of it, man?
Very carefully.
Yeah.
It's shaped like a boat. So you can't see this, but it's shaped like a boat, and it's got three skulls like Skull Island where King Kong lives. And there's no noticeable way that I could see that you could drink out of that without making a mess.
Yeah, not without a couple of straws
and
a couple of friends.
Of course, straws. Yes, there you go.
Does a straw have one hole or two holes?
What?
Ooh.
Is this some sort of a trick physics question that
No, isn't that topology is the math field? With nodes and stuff like that?
I ask you a question. Have you been hitting the Schwartz beer before the show? Because I have no idea where you're going with this. John Fisher of the CIA is here. Anton Kinlock from Lone Wolf in Kingston, New York. I really appreciate you making it all the way up here. A lot of traffic coming up?
Yeah, not too bad, though.
John saw a lot going the other way on the highway.
Yeah, there was like a Jeep had been incinerated. I don't know what had happened.
That's why we were slowed down on the way up.
A lot of rubberneckers. All right, so what's this?
So this is actually one of our signature cocktails at Lone Wolf. This is called the Venus Flytrap. So it's actually a blend of gin, rum, pisco, which is a Peruvian brandy, with some cinnamon syrup, some passion fruit, some orgeat, which is our house-made almond, and some lemon juice.
Okay, now, Anton, you and I don't know each other. And so you don't realize that my reactions are sometimes not normal. To me, this has a whiff of bubblegum.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
I can see that.
What flavor is bubblegum anyway?
Obviously this. No, this is delicious. My heavens.
Yeah, this is good. Yeah.
I wonder how many calories are in that thing.
I try not to think about it too much.
Do they make you post? This Mai Tai has 4,000 calories in it?
Thank God they don't. Otherwise, I'd be out of business.
I do want to make one quick point.
Go.
You said that Lone Wolf is a tiki bar. It's actually a classic cocktail bar.
But they have tiki night.
And they have tiki night Sunday.
Every Sunday. Yep.
So what is, I saw the listing that it was a cocktail bar.
Right.
I thought all bars were cocktail bars.
Well, beer and shot joints aren't really cocktail bars. I like beer and shot joints, but they aren't really cocktail bars.
Okay, fair enough. So this is a little more upscale.
Yeah, a little bit more upscale, a little bit more dialed in.
Do you have a bouncer?
No bouncers.
Okay. Well, I'll remember that. Christian writes in, are there any cocktails that include bitters as the main ingredient?
Angostura colada.
Sure.
That's the first one I thought of. My buddy Zach Overman, actually, who worked down in Brooklyn, came up with that cocktail, and it's literally an ounce and a half of Angostura bitters. It's like so cost prohibitive.
And Angostura bitters are 90 proof.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
They're 45%
alcohol. I've been keeping
alcohol.
It in the fridge.
You don't have to.
I don't need
it'll
to.
Live,
I didn't know it was
forever.
90 proof. Right. I did not realize. What's the name of this drink again?
Angostura Colada.
No,
this one is the
Venus Flytrap. Is the Venus Flytrap.
This is a fantastic drink. And so if we went to your website, do you have your recipes on or do you keep that as a proprietary?
It's a little proprietary, but we at least list the ingredients on the menu. So you can at least figure it out.
Delicious.
Yeah, one of the most classic tiki bars. Was it Don Beach that had the numbered preparations that nobody knew what the recipes were?
Yeah, like Don's Mix or Don Spices number 2.
Yeah.
Oh, really? That's kind of a scary thing.
I think he legally had his name changed to Don Beach, I think.
Don Beach?
Yeah.
This email from Lewis. What is the purpose of burnt orange in an old-fashioned?
Caramelized flavor. When you take the orange peel and you light a match, you squeeze the peel towards the cocktail, it makes a flame, so everybody in the room is like, ooh, fire.
In an old-fashioned?
Well, old-fashions classically don't have fruit. And the cherry and the orange in the bottom muddled, that's a modern addition.
Really? Well, that's the way I do mine.
Yeah, that's like a Wisconsin thing mostly. Like, we refer to that as a Wisconsin old-fashioned because that's how they make it over there mostly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So we're not really going to put anything in the Skull Island boat there, are we?
Unless you absolutely want to.
No, I don't think that's a great idea. Anton Kinlock is our guest today. John Fisher as well. It's our summer cocktail show, and let's grab a call or two. 800-348-2551. Diane in North Adams, you're first. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Diane.
I'll turn off my speaker.
Splendid.
So there used to be a restaurant in Peekskill called Zeft, and they made the greatest cosmopolitan ever. And, of course, because life happens, they closed. So how can I make a really good Cosmo?
Any good bartender.
That's a pretty easy drink, yeah?
Yeah. It's a pretty simple drink. It's absolute citron, correctly, absolute citron, Cointreau, fresh lime juice, and cranberry juice cocktail, which is not fresh. And it's just, first of all, they're really strong. They're like, nuclear pink lemonade. but it's not a hard drink to make. Any decent bartender should be able to make it.
Thanks a lot, Diane. You want to follow up?
Thanks very much.
Appreciate the call. Have a great weekend. 800-348-2551. If you have a call for our guests today, Anton Kinlock and John Fisher, 800-348-2551 to Hyde Park. And Eric, you're on. Eric. Eric hung up. Hello, Eric.
Hello.
Hey, you're on. Go ahead.
Just a real quick one. I just left the culinary at the Egg and had the new beer. I hope it's going to be back there in September. Today was the last day. So that's my go-to. Thanks, John Fisher.
Hey.
Thanks, Hutch.
It's our pleasure. It'll be around after break. Come back in September. In fact, it'll have a little more time in the tank, so it'll get even a little bit more... a little clearer, and the flavors will be a little bit more defined.
I'm glad you brought that up. And, Eric, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. So, most beer's not aged, per se, right?
It shouldn't be. but some beers take longer than others. Lagers take longer. The lagering process is storing it at near freezing temperatures for a combination of things. It's the last bit of fermentation, secondary fermentation. Mostly, it's the solids dropping out by gravity. That's why most lagering tanks actually look more like the oil train cars you see in the freight train. They're cylindrical and low because that's a shorter distance for the solids to have to travel to settle out.
And is there a screen or something midway through?
It's just the solids settle to the bottom very slowly, and the beer gets clearer and clearer. And like the best lagers in the area are made at Suarez Family Brewery in just south of Hudson.
I have not heard of this beer.
I've told you about Suarez. They're the best lagers in the
Have
Northeast.
We met before? Yes. I don't remember the conversation.
In a previous life. But these beers are fantastic, and I don't think he even filters them. I had a beer once that he had lagered for like 8 months.
Yeah.
And as long as it's refrigerated, it's fine. But beer deteriorates once it's been packaged. So you should drink high hops beers within 3 months and other craft beers within 6. Now, Budweiser and Miller and Coors are bulletproof. I mean, they process them, they filter them, they cold filter them so that they can sit on a grocery store shelf for 6-8 months a year and be fine.
Well, you know, a lot of the beers, now, most grocery stores have a fairly huge selection of beer now. 98% of them are IPAs, but there's a lot of beer there to be chosen. So are you saying that those beers after a few months are not, should look at the date?
Check the date on the bottom of the can, and if a can doesn't have a date on it, I don't buy it.
But a can gets no light. Isn't light the primary culprit here?
Light makes beer skunky. Age makes beer oxidize. So skunkiness is a chemical called MBT, and is created by 350 to 500 nanometers of ultraviolet light that convert some of the sulfuric compounds in the hops into skunk smell.
So that's why the green beers that you would get up in the Great White North or some other places. Ah, interesting. John Fisher is here from the Culinary Institute. Anton Kinloch from the Lone Wolf in Kingston. The number is 800-348-2551. Before we get to the next call, Anton Kinloch, you brought a bottle out here. What is that? You got a couple of bottles out.
I got a couple of bottles. So I figured we'd start with my new personal favorite Privateer, True American Rum. This is actually
one of... Looks like a whiskey.
It looks like a whiskey because it's actually treated like a whiskey. So this is actually the very first bottled and bond rum on the market, especially in this country. Now, bottled and bond is usually a term that's designated only for whiskey, specifically bourbon.
Yeah.
But in this case, the folks at Privateer decided to try their hand at it and actually distill this, age it for 4 years, and then bottle it at 100 proof.
Is the government still certifying this? I mean, if it's bottled in bond, right, it has to have that tag on it or the sticker?
Not a tag or a sticker, I don't think.
I don't think they do that anymore. Nowadays, I think that was the Bottled in Bond Act was way back when, but nowadays it's kind of an optional thing.
Yeah. This is from Ipswich, Massachusetts. Interesting. Let me have just a smell of
this. Yeah, rum is made all over the place.
Yeah.
Is one of the easier whiskeys, or not whiskeys, but spirit. Alcoholic beverages to make?
Here.
It smells good. You want a little?
I'm going to, yeah.
I just want the barest of taste. I have to drive the show. But is rum relatively easy to make?
Relatively, yeah. I mean, it's just molasses, water, yeast. I mean, truth be told, without incriminating myself, I have made some rum myself
is
in the past.
Is it illegal to do that?
Well, to sell, yes, but if you're doing a tiny amount, I don't think anybody's going to notice.
There you go.
And remember, he's from the CIA, so.
Right, you are. All right, let's have a toast here. 800-348-2551. We'll go back to the phones in a minute.
Well, that smells good.
It does smell good.
Yeah, rum is, you know, arguably the greatest value in spirits today because you can get a 15, 20, 30-year-old rum for the price of like an 18-year scotch.
Okay, I love this. It is not too. It is sweet, but not too sweet by any stretch. This is almost like a whiskey.
Yep.
It really is. Beautiful. Let's go to the phones.
That's lovely, yeah.
Greg is in Williamstown. You're on.
Hey, yeah, I love cocktails. I love making them, so I have a lot of questions. But
okay.
I'll try to keep it short. It's my understanding, tell me if I'm wrong, that rum is distilled from molasses and cachaça is distilled directly from sugar cane. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Because I get a splitting headache from rum, and cachaça is hallucinogenic. So So what the hell is the difference?
It's not really hallucinogenic now. Wait a minute.
No, but we will have you dancing on the bar.
Well, I got to tell you, the first couple of times I ever had it, it was, no, not literally hallucinogenic, but just an entirely different physical experience for me. One of the things that I find annoying is that I can't find any good cachaça. Very difficult to find here. Well, you know, rums you can find, but not cachaça.
There are basically, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but there are basically two brands that I know of. I can't think of the name. LeBlanc is the more kind of bougie one they have a lot of money behind it. There's a lot of advertising and stuff. But P-I-T-U, is the first one that I found, and it's inexpensive. It is true cachaça, and it gets the job done.
Cachaça?
Cachaça.
Oh, it's different.
Cachaça. No, it's the same thing. What the first question you got was about cachaça.
I thought that was a cherry liquor.
No, it's no. I don't know which one you're talking about.
Kirschwasser. Yeah.
Kirschwasser. That means cherry water.
Yeah. Yeah.
But cachaça is Brazilian. Don't tell them you're calling it rum because it's against the law to define it as a rum. It's their national spirit.
Had a bottle one time, Greg, not of the brand you speak, but boy, it did not hit. It was not good. Maybe it was very cheap. I don't know, but it's possible. Are you still there, Greg? Greg's passed out. All right, fair enough. Hey, man, thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Cocktails Today with John Fisher at Anton Kinloch. Quick email before we take a break, and then we'll go back to the phones. This is from E. When making drinks at home, is ice made from countertop ice makers any better than ice made ice makers in the home fridge?
Ah, interesting. That's so what you're actually looking for ice is actually more clarity than anything else. Like, the clearer the ice is going to result in more dense ice, and the more dense it is, the slower it's going to melt. So the short answer is you could use ice out of your ice machine. You can use ice out of a countertop machine. It's not really going to matter. The big thing is just don't shake your cocktail nearly as long as you normally would, because it's going to be smaller. It's going to be more brittle. It's going to dilute your cocktail faster. So whip it around for about 3 to 5 seconds instead of like 10 to 12.
So when you make most of these tropical drinks, I'll just call them tropical.
Yeah.
I'm sure not all of them are. You're shaking them.
Yeah.
John Fisher admonished me years ago, never shake a martini.
For many things.
Yes. Well, obviously. But so all of these should be shaken, not stirred.
For the most part, yeah. If it's got citrus in it, shake it. If it doesn't have citrus, don't shake it.
All right, let's take a break. 800-348-2551 is our number. 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Cocktails with John Fisher and Anton Kinloch. We'll be back.
Support comes from Barrington Brewery Great Barrington, announcing the return of Oktoberfest on Sunday, April 20th. Oktoberfest beer and food, music by Otto Oompa Band and the BTUs. Info at barringtonbrewery.net. Honest Weight Food Co-op in Albany, local, organic, and sustainable groceries for all. Open daily from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Home delivery available. Online at honestweight.coop for information. Berkshire Food Co-op in downtown Great Barrington, a community-owned grocery store working to serve as a reliable source for local produce and groceries. Everyone is welcome. Berkshire.coop. Troy Waterfront Farmers Market on the streets of downtown Troy for the summer, Saturdays 9 to 2, with over 100 fresh local food and produce vendors, featuring music, dining, and makers market. TroyMarket.org. Chefric Orlando, hosting small group tours of Sicily, Puglia, and Central Italy, and custom cooking ingredients for the home chef. Information at ricorlando.com. And Copaic Hillsdale Farmers Market on New York 22, open for the season, Saturdays 9 to 1. Local produce, meats, baked goods, spirits, and more. SNAP customers welcome. CopaicHillsdaleFarmersMarket.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC Food Friday. It's a summer cocktail show. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. John Fisher is here. Anton Kenlock is here. And, John, what is that device there over there?
Oh, this is a swizzle stick.
Looks terrifying.
Anton talk about it because he uses
it's not
them.
Made out of human bone or anything, is it?
No, it's from a shrub in the Caribbean.
Yeah, look at that. It's actually shaped this way. So it's long on one end and then just has a couple of like four or five points on it. And this is actually a traditional swizzle stick used to put between your hands, especially with cocktails that have lots of crushed ice, just to kind of swizzle back and forth.
Yeah.
Kind of like you're almost starting a fire. And this thing is absolutely wonderful to have. I encourage every home bartender and bartender to get one of these.
You have one of those?
I have a couple, actually. They're not crazy expensive. You can buy them on Amazon, even.
Okay.
Yeah, and cocktailkingdom.com, they have great bar equipment.
Wait, there's a website called cocktailkingdom.com?
Oh, yeah, they're basically the suppliers to a lot of great cocktail bars of mixing glasses and shakers.
But they don't do retail, right? This is only...
Oh, yeah.
No, they do retail as well, yeah.
Really? Oh.
And they have a brick and mortar. It's like on the fourth floor of an office building, so it's tricky to get to.
Yeah.
They started as a cocktail book publisher, and because the owner had the largest personal collection of cocktail books in the country, and so they were publishing cocktail books, and he'd say, hey, people don't, this is like, 15 years ago or so, people don't have good equipment, let's start selling some.
Interesting, yeah. Really? This email from Pam, and then we'll go back to the phones, 800-348-2551. I have bullet bourbon in the cupboard for a fall drink with cider and allspice dram, but was wondering if there is a summer cocktail recipe I could make with bullet bourbon, and that's from Pam.
Bourbon and ginger?
bourbon and cider and allspice dram during the summertime? Absolutely.
That would be fine, yeah.
Yeah, with lots of lemon juice, and do it as a highball.
Actually, also, just a good old classic whiskey sour.
Oh, yeah.
Whiskey sours are great. I introduced my students to whiskey sours, one of my classes years ago at the culinary, and it ended up being like the favorite cocktail of a bunch of
It's sweet. The kids like that, right?
Well, balanced if you make it right. You know, fresh lemon juice. You know,
Anton, I'm sure I'm not speaking out of school by telling you that John Fisher threatened to kill me if I ever used the powdered whiskey sour mix.
No, mame.
It wasn't kill. Yeah. It was something with the swizzle stick. And let's not go into it. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. What's this stuff in the bottle here?
This rum is cray.
Yeah. So this is actually a classic Haitian rum called Clairen.
Uh-huh.
So.
No, that's the old one.
Yeah, I know. I better. Okay.
Yeah, so this stuff is absolutely wild. This is a sugarcane rum. It is made in a pot still. And anybody who knows what's going on in Haiti right now knows that the government is pretty much doing all sorts of horrific things over there, and there's not a lot of great infrastructure. But distillation is thriving. And what I mean by that is this is super small production. We're talking about probably the size of this studio that we're in right now.
Really?
is the size of the equipment.
Wait, you're saying we can get some sort of distilling operation here in the studio?
I didn't say that.
This smells, okay, again, don't know anything about anything. I'm a radio guy. Smells like onion.
Smells like onion, a little
what
briny.
What kind of onion?
Obviously a Haitian rum onion. No, I don't know.
Is it roasted?
Rum onion. Is it fresh sugarcane juice, rum agricole, or
yeah. So this is a fresh cane juice, but it's actually fermented, open air fermented, for several weeks.
Okay, so, I like this.
Yeah,
to me it seems more like a traditional rum that I would know. What's the proof on that? About 90 proof?
Yeah, something like that? 49.5.
Gotta be honest, only subjective. I like the Massachusetts stuff. I really do over this. All right, let's go grab a few calls here. John Fisher and Anton Kinlock are with us. It's Summer Cocktails, 800-348-2551. Bess is in Alford. Bess, you're on.
Oh, hi. I was at a restaurant in Minneapolis, and they had an amazing drink. It was a passion fruit Negroni. And I did find some passion fruit that is frozen chunks that I could use in it. But I'm wondering if you have any other further instructions how to make something like that.
I don't know if I would advise that because a Negroni is a perfect cocktail by itself with three ingredients, 1 ounce of each. I don't know how they would have made a passion fruit Negroni. And they would be strung up in Venice. If
here we go.
There.
Here we go, Bess. Now you've really pushed his buttons.
Well, no, no. I like a traditional Negroni. I will say that. But I have seen things like tequila Negronis. And I, as a passion fruit freak, I had to figure out how to make this.
Oh, passion fruit is one of my favorite flavors on the planet. And they're a pain in the butt to use because they're like purple ping pong balls with some gooey seeds inside. But I guess maybe just a regular Negroni with some passion fruit added. I don't know. I honestly can't even imagine how they would have created.
Now, for those
that
who don't
drink.
Know, a traditional Negroni is made how?
Gin, sweet vermouth, and Campari. Equal parts.
I
one
can't
ounce
see
of
how
each.
The passion fruit and Campari are going to meld together very well.
Yeah, I don't even know if they use Campari. That was the thing. So maybe.
Well, that is not a Negroni.
Because I have this frozen passion fruit. Could you suggest another cocktail? And it doesn't have seeds or anything. It's just the bits of fruit that you would use.
Mr. Kinlock might have an
idea,
too.
Could you suggest another cocktail for that?
Yeah, I mean, you could actually take that and make a passion fruit syrup. So take that and add twice as much sugar to that. Bring it to a boil, reduce it to a simmer, and then cut the heat and just let it cool down. And now you've got this amazing passion fruit syrup that you can use pretty much in any cocktail you throw at it, whether you want to do a mojito or you want to do a daiquiri or you want to do some other cocktail. It doesn't necessarily have to be rum-based. Bourbon and vodka and tequila all play really nicely with that.
You can make a passion fruit margarita. Would be lovely.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds good. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Bess. Appreciate the call. Now, Anton, I think it's fair to say that John has threatened to do harm to me on a number of occasions when I've tried to cut corners on cocktail making. One summer years ago, the family and I go up to Maine every year when we can. And my wife and I were on the mojito kick. And I said, okay, I'll just buy a bottle of this mixer stuff. And when Fisher heard about that, it was not good. Tell me how you make your mojito.
So our mojito spec is actually 8 to 10 pieces of mint, a quarter ounce of simple syrup, heavy quarter.
Yeah. What's your go-to rum for that?
Go-to rum would probably be Plantation 3-Star. It's the most versatile. It's the most budget-friendly. It's the one you can find in any liquor store.
Where is it made?
It's actually made in three different islands. So it's actually Jamaica, Barbados, and Trinidad, and it's blended together, aged for 3 years, and then charcoal filtered out, so it comes out looking very, very clear.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to our phone lines. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll go to Russell, Massachusetts. Mark, you're on.
Hi. I'm a big gin and tonics fan. And
me too.
kind of boring in my choices. I've pretty much been settling on like Tanqueray and Beefeater, but I have expanded my palate into Fever Tree gin, Fever Tonic. Tree tonic.
Yeah.
Do you have any other recommendations for gins I should try?
Gosh, well, there's a local gin in the Hudson Valley now from Wasaic, from 10 Mile Distillery, called Listening Rock.
Yes.
Listening Rock.
Really?
Gin.
Are they good?
It's great. It's not traditional. It's more lemony. They actually use Meyer lemons in
it. So New Amsterdam does the same thing in a more mass-produced way.
Well, yeah, but a lot bigger. This is craft distillation going on. The same guy that owns Millbrook Winery. John Dyson opened this beautiful distillery in Wasaic, in a former dairy barn, and he did not stop at spending money to make this place beautiful.
And he did not fail.
No, good. It's growing. They make a great vodka called Sin Patch. The whiskey is well over a C note, but the gin and the vodka are both very affordable, and the stills are beautiful. They're Forsyth stills from Scotland. He hired a Scottish distiller.
Yes. Was he on the show with you one time, or we just talked about him?
I think we talked about him. That might have been the one I had to call in because I had COVID at the time.
Ah, I'm glad you didn't come in.
Yeah, me too. But anyway, so Listening Rock Gin is a local gin that's lovely. It's like still around $30, I think. And I don't know. There are a lot of gins. They're all different.
I love Boodles. I mean,
Boodles is great for the money.
I do not.
It's
really
a soft
drink gin and tonics. I love a martini with Boodles.
I know, in your stainless steel martini glass.
And Beefeaters is my go-to for that. But again, I never drink gin and tonics.
Gin and tonic is such a great drink. One suggestion for a gin and tonic. At home, we always add a little bit of Peychaud's bitters, and it's both really tasty, and it makes it a lovely shade of pink.
What do you think, Mark?
Ooh, that sounds good. Bitters?
Yeah, either bitters. Ango works, and that gives you more of like an allspice flavor. But the Peychaud's bitters are a little more floral, a little more anise. And like I said, it looks really pretty in the glass.
And I value that highly in my drinks. Thank you very much.
Fair enough, Mark. Thanks for the call. Have a great weekend. Chris is in Ballston Spa. Chris, you're on.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. Just that follow-up on the last caller. If he's ever had orange gin and tonic, that is delicious. The last one of the last callers, too, I'm still stuck on that passion fruit margarita. That sounds delicious.
Okay.
I feel like my call is, I don't know. I'm kind of interested in mocktails, simple things. I'm so tired of drinking water and seltzer just as an everyday drink. I'm looking for something that is exciting but not with a lot of sugar. I've just started putting together coconut seltzer and pineapple juice. It's wonderful.
That sounds great.
And I just wondered if you have anything else like that you could offer that's a good match with flavor.
Fellas, what do you think?
One of my personal go-tos is actually, there's two brands that I would recommend. Spiritless actually makes a non-alcoholic bourbon, which does
taste.
Oh,
come on.
Yeah.
Non-alcoholic bourbon.
It tastes like the real thing. I've got a couple of bartenders who no longer drink, and they swear by this stuff, and I can see why. It's delicious.
Interesting.
The other brand on the market is Seedlip, which it puts out amazing products. So it's basically vacuum distilled botanicals. So they're basically using a very low temperature to basically get the vapors of these botanicals out. And then they basically add distilled water to it, package it, bottle it. It's amazing. It adds a whole different level of complexity to your cocktails that you're not going to be able to get otherwise.
Could you say the name of that again, please?
Yes, Seedlip.
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 What is the significance of that name?
That I'm not sure. I just know that I stumbled across it at a trade show, tried it, ordered a couple of bottles, and I swear by the stuff, and it's been used in every one of my programs ever since.
How about
it's
that?
Used by in a lot of bars. A lot of great cocktail bars are using it now.
All right.
Awesome.
Well, thanks, Chris.
Okay, thanks so much.
Have a great weekend. Appreciate it. What are you doing, Fisher?
I'm getting a little cocktail for us.
You have the
okay.
copper thing that you always bring to the show.
The pressurized growler, yes.
That's right. That's what it is. So that could be for beer or anything?
Anything. I mean, the last two times I've used it were for cocktails for here. But that's one of the sad things about a growler, a regular one, is that you put the beer in it and
goes flat.
You just pretty much, if once you opened it, you have to treat it as fresh draft beer. And if you don't drink it all, which we usually do, it goes flat. But this thing, you can put it in the fridge. I actually have a gallon-sized one, too.
Wow, do you never brought that in, though.
No. A gallon of cocktails.
You make the employees here very happy.
Yes.
Got to say, as we have been doing this show, Anton Kinloch from The Lone Wolf in Kingston, I've been just having tiny sips of this Venus Flytrap. It is one of my favorite drinks already.
It's
fantastic stuff.
It's a great drink.
And it's also named after a fictional radio personality, right? From, you're too young, WKRP in Cincinnati. Venus Flytrap was one of the DJs.
That's a great show.
Let's go to Marianne in Durham. Marianne, you're on.
Hi.
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 I'm so happy that you spoke about Negroni because that's my favorite drink and that's my question.
It's my favorite cocktail.
What's the question?
Yeah, I use the Antica vermouth.
But
what gin do you suggest for the best?
Gosh, a gin for Antica.
Let's see. So this is kind of a tough question, but I'll try to do my best to throw at it. At our place, we actually split our vermouth 50-50 with Punta Mess and Carpano Antica because I think Carpano is wonderful, but it's super heavy on the vanilla.
It's too sweet.
But for
general use.
Yeah, but I mean, if that's all you have, I would say go with a bigger, bolder gin. So I would say Perry's Tot is a wonderful gin out of Brooklyn. It clocks in right at 114 proof. Really, really great stuff. Stands up nicely.
114 proof.
Yeah.
All right. You better sit down when you have one of those, Marianne.
Yeah. Or.
Really? Well.
Yeah. Or Monkey 47
is another
one.
You have to sit down after any Negroni.
Ah, good for you.
I'm sorry.
Monkey 47.
What was the mixture with the Antica? Because I find the Antica is a little sweet. So what was the other one you were cutting it with?
It's a Punt Emes. It's P-U-N-T-E and then M-E-S.
Three words.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Great brand.
Great.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, Marianne. Appreciate it. We have another call here. We're going to get to it very quickly. But, John Fisher, what have you decanted?
So this is a cocktail I came up with for the opening of the Dasai Sake Brewery in Hyde Park. It's called a Pink Cloud. It's actually one of my favorite cocktails I've come up with in the last 10 years.
It's delightful.
Delicious,
yeah.
And so it's that gin from 10 Mile, Listening Rock Gin. Yuzu super juice is actually... Yuzu is the Japanese lemon type fruit. And super juice is a method that is very ecologically sound because it uses the whole fruit.
Including the rind.
Also, what's that?
Including the rind?
Yes, the peels.
Wow.
They don't use the pith.
Oh, interesting.
But super juice is... Because one of the biggest wastes in a bar is all of the hulls of the lemons and limes after squeezing fresh juice. So this is a company called Yuzu Co. that's making some yuzu juice products. And so I wanted, Japanese sake. Dasai blue sake from Hyde Park.
Beautiful.
A little bit of their sake with a Japanese-type fruit. And then a local gin and a little bit of simple syrup.
And it's light and delicious and really nice. Now, we're almost out of time here. Very quickly, Fred's on the line. We don't have time to go to Fred. Can you give us a quick recipe in like 15 seconds for a whiskey sour?
2 ounces of whiskey, 1 ounce of lemon juice, 1 ounce of simple syrup. If you want to get fancy, half of an egg white.
Okay. All right. We are just about done here. Anton Kinloch, great job today. How do people find out more about the Lone Wolf?
Best place to go is our website, www.lonewolfkingston.com, or just look us up on Google, Lone Wolf Kingston, and you'll find us right there.
And what are your hours generally?
We're open Wednesday to Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we open at 5. Saturday and Sunday, we open at 1 and 2, respectively.
That is fantastic. Well, great job. Great to have you on the show. John Fisher, how do people follow you guys over at the CIA?
CIAchef.edu, new website coming out in September.
Beautiful job. Thanks to everybody, and thanks to everybody who called in. Support comes from Nine Pin Cider Works, Albany, New York, hard cider from local apples. Nine Pin Cider's fall seasonal apple, Pie Secco, is now available. Open 7 days starting at 11 a.m. NinePinCider.com. The Inn at Saratoga, 1843 Lodging House, restaurant and tavern with live music 4 nights per week in downtown Saratoga. The Inn at Saratoga.com for details. Saratoga Restaurant Equipment Sales, 27 years supplying restaurants and commercial kitchen facilities, also offering project design, installation, and repair services. SaratogaSales.com. At Brewster Farmers Market, 997 Route 22 Brewster, now open Saturdays for summer, with fresh seasonal fruits and vegetables, large selection of breads and pastries from La Limas Bakery, and more. Hours 8 to 2. Thanks again to John Fisher and Anton Kinloch for being here today. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the calls. Thanks for the emails. Apologies if we did not get to yours. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Barb King screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. We'll be back Monday at 2 for a Medical Monday. Meantime, have a splendid weekend.